Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The dark secret in all too many families is abuse. It takes several forms, verbal, physical, even sexual. The hurt caused by abuse is incalculable, both to the abused as well as the abuser. Today, what to do if you are a victim or a victimizer? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer speaks on the hurt and healing of abuse.
He is charming, helpful, appears to be generous, willing to commit himself, the kind of man that many people think that you ought to marry. You do notice that sometimes he does things for you that make you feel uncomfortable, but after all, you're thankful for the attention, such as it is. And furthermore, as you stop to think about it and you begin to reflect, you do notice that he is somewhat controlling, but it's nice to be loved by a man who seems to take charge. That's a welcome relief. The problem is that as time goes on, you begin to discover that he's very controlling, and your opinion doesn't matter that much because he always knows what is best and he knows what should be done. There's something else that gives you a bit of pause, and that is the fact that he speaks disparagingly of his own parents, and you notice that everybody seems to have wronged him. And then you notice that he even speaks disparagingly of your own family. And that becomes very important and will be very important after you're married because he's going to want to separate you from your family. But he tells you that you alone understand him. You're not like everybody else out there. And so it is, he perhaps pressures you sexually, but you begin to think, well, all men are like that. Well, by the way, all men aren't like that, but you begin to think that that's maybe somewhat normal, and so you commit and you marry him. And what you don't understand is he's not interested in a partner. He's interested in someone whom he can control, someone whom he can possess. That's really what he's interested in. And then you see his dark side. First of all, it is verbal put-downs as he tries to minimize you, as he tries to criticize you and make sure that you know that he is so much superior and you are so foolish and maybe even stupid. And then he begins to tell you, you're just like the rest of them after all. You're not the woman that I thought you were going to be. And then perhaps his temper gets the best of him and you begin to notice that it is physical abuse. He slaps you and you hope that it will be the only time and he may actually ask forgiveness. Of course, he will remind you that you made me slap you. So the good news is he might ask forgiveness and when he does, he is genuinely sorry. The bad news is it won't change anything. He will do it again. And then when you have children, perhaps he will abuse them physically, verbally, maybe even sexually. Welcome to the world of abuse. And of course, you as a wife don't know what to do. Who do you tell? All of your friends think that he's such a nice man that if you were to indicate what was going on at home, they'd either call you a liar, A, or else B, they'd say, what kind of a horrible woman are you anyway to make such a nice man act that way? Because remember, his reputation in the neighborhood and in the church is still great. It's not necessary for him to be good, but it's very necessary for him to appear good. So you don't know who to tell. You don't know who will even believe you. Just for the sake of the record, here at the Moody Church, if you come to us and tell us that you have been abused or you are being abused, we will believe you. Keep that in mind. Well, what I'd like to do today, as you know, is to speak about this very difficult topic in a couple of words by way of introduction. First of all, even though I'm going to be speaking about men primarily as the abusers, of course, there are women who also abuse their husbands. oftentimes because they are very passive-aggressive or in other ways. And of course, there are mothers who abuse their children. But during this message, I can't continually refer to that and remind you of that, even though it will become apparent as the message continues. Furthermore, this message is not only for the abused, but the abusers. When I was a young pastor, I would speak to all those who were abused and forget the fact that if it is true that 1 in 4 girls will be sexually molested or in some way disparaged by the time she becomes a teenager or older, I used to think to myself, now who is doing all this? And then I realized that in a congregation like this and the wider audience that we have well beyond the walls of Moody Church, in the wider audience, there are plenty of people out there who are the abusers. And I want to speak to you abusers now, as I will later, and tell you that, first of all, I care about you. You too are a human being. And my desire is that you will be in heaven, redeemed by God, along with those whom you have abused, as a testimony of God's amazing, incredible grace. So I care about you as an individual. Let me tell you about the prayer meeting that we had on Wednesday. We were praying about this particular message and this day. And I asked if there were any women present who had been abused, and we were willing to pray for them. And one dear sister began to just pour out her soul. So I invited other women to come around and to pray for her, and about 15 or 20 perhaps gathered around. And then when we were finished praying for her, I asked for other women who had been abused to indicate their desire for prayer. And it was so wonderful to see that in the midst of all of this confession, to see these women rally around one another and pray for each other. So I'm going to let you know that at the end of this message, I'm going to give an invitation. Rebecca and I are going to be up here to welcome you. We have prayer partners, more prayer partners than usual. Because what we'd like to do is for you to be able to experience the same grace, the same outpouring of love, and the same prayer support as we had at prayer meeting this past Wednesday. People say to me, you know, is it difficult for you to preach a message like this? And my response is, no, not really. And I'll tell you why. I am so excited about the possibility that there are people who are listening to this message who are going to be helped. I believe that lives are going to be changed forever as a result of what we're going to share today, and that excites me. I have 4 or 5 books on abuse, and I read only one, and that was plenty. My heart was absolutely broken as I began to see what happens behind closed doors, and I began to think of all of the pain that is out there that most of us know nothing about. So today, it is from my heart to your heart that I speak, and I care about you, abused and abusers. All of us stand in the need of God's marvelous grace. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles for a moment and turn to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, I want to leave you with this promise. In the book of Psalms, we have these words. Psalm 147, I'm going to pick it up in verse 2. Psalm 147, verse 2, it says, "The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel." Of course, the psalm begins by inviting praise to God because he is good. "But he gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. He lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground." So there you have it. God binds up the brokenhearted. If you're here today and you are brokenhearted, God stands ready to bind you up. But his grace does not enter into closed doors. You must let him heal you. And that's what we're praying toward in this message. Well, before we get to the healing part, I want us to think briefly about a quintessential example of an abuser in the Bible, and that is King Saul. King Saul is very interesting, and you may not have time to turn to this passage because I'm going to look at it very quickly. But Saul was an amazing man because he had these advantages, these strong points. Saul was anointed by God, chapter 10, verse 1 of Samuel. Samuel anointed him and says, "The Lord is anointing you to be king. Wouldn't you like to be anointed as king?" Wow. Saul, furthermore, had the gift of prophecy. "The Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you," said Samuel, "and you will prophesy. And you'll be turned into another man." And then Saul begins to prophesy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the people even ask, this is all in 1 Samuel chapter 10. The people even ask, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And the answer is yes. Listen to him prophesy. He appeared to be humble. Later on in the chapter, they are having a coronation. Samuel gathers the whole crowd to a place called Mizpah, and he said, "We're going to crown our king." And lo and behold, Saul is chosen to be the one crowned, and they can't find him. The Bible says he was hiding behind the baggage. That appears to be humility. And then when he was brought before the people, the Bible says he was taller than anyone else, and he was impressive in appearance. And you know that tall people do have a great advantage over the rest of us. They are impressive oftentimes in appearance. Saul had all that. And then you go to chapter 11. You can find it there. And what do you discover about Saul? He won a great victory for Israel. How would you like to have a king like that, anointed, gifted by God? But there was another part to King Saul. There was some darkness in his life. And we discover this as we look at the scripture now in 1 Samuel chapter 18. I know I'm hurrying today, but keep in mind that all this is in the text and you can find it yourself. Well, my friend, I sure hope that you listen next time as we continue on this message regarding King Saul. What an interesting person he was. We'll discover that, yes, he was anointed by God, chosen even by God, but he also was an abuser. And many of you are struggling with that in your home, many more than most of us recognize and realize. And I preach this message to give you hope and to give you help and some direction. The burden of my heart is that there might be a transformation within our homes, that God might break in with grace, with power, and bring about the kind of changes that are necessary for people to live in harmony and in a productive way. This series of messages is entitled Fighting for Your Family. It deals, yes, with the issue of abuse, but also finances, the raising of children, other challenges that the family today faces. So in a moment, Dave is going to be giving you some information as to how these messages can be yours. I want to thank you so much for your prayers and for your interest in our lives and ministry so that we can continue to share the good news.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Pastor Lutzer introduced The Hurt and Healing of Abuse, his eighth message on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, more about King Saul, a textbook case of an abuser. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.